The Webcomic Beacon now presents First Issue, a brand new video series from the Webcast Beacon Network, in which three cartoonists from differing backgrounds take a look at the first issue of a comic and see if it succeeds or fails in doing what a first issue is supposed to do, and that is to make the reader want to get the next and following issues. You can check that out at firstissue.webcomicbeacon.com.
It's time for the Tropecast.
Hello and welcome. I am Adam Smithy of webcomichell.com and applevalleycomic.com. And you are listening to The Tropecast. Now this is part two in a little mini series of EP episodes. EP means they're shorter, more concise. We don't quite ramble as much as we probably could. The first half of this episode, which was the previous episode to air, was the one where we talked about generally nice Christmas topics. And now, since Fest probably won't have this one edited until well after Christmas, we're going to talk about some naughty Christmas topics. Because at this point in time, it's too late to return any of the gifts. That's what I'm saying. I'm joined by Liz.
Hello, everyone. This is Liz Staley of AdrastusComic.com.
And Don.
This is Don Koch of Kaito.org, Kaito's Comics.
We also have an extra special guest because he volunteered.
He happened to be on Skype
and volunteered to come in. And we're missing Mike because his computer keeps kicking him off every time he tries to connect to us. Introducing.
I kind of feel cheap now introducing myself, but okay.
Here, we can give you a drum roll.
Oh, well, it's Kurt Sasso from TGT Media. That's TGTmedia.com.
Yay! Yeah, Kurt was actually like my first podcast that I ever did years ago when people actually cared about the Apple of Discord.
Yes, it's been a while since you were on our show, but, you know, it's great to be back.
It's been two webcomics since I've been on your show. But then again, that may speak more to my propensity to get bored with projects and jump to something else than it does anything else.
I'll go with that.
There is that, yeah. Okay, so, like I said, we're going to talk about some darker, edgier, sexier, naughtier Christmas stuff. And the first one that came to our attention is one I've seen a lot of stuff about this year. And I don't know if it's like, if it's the internet is just sort of building this up as an awesome, like, anti-Santa. But
I didn't know what it was until last year when Lar did a pinup of it.
And that is The Krampus. Mm. So I'll put a link up in the chat as well as drop it on the people in Skype. And Liz, you want to explain what the Krampus is while I'm linking everybody?
Sure. Well, the Krampus, who actually has a website, I think it's Krampus.com, is Santa's Punisher. Is kind of how he's been described. He's this demonic-looking, hairy, cloven-hoofed, horned beast thing that goes around with Santa punishing the bad children and dragging them off to hell in a handbasket.
Nice.
Yeah. So, you definitely don't want to get visited by the Krampus. But yeah, he's pretty much Santa's enforcer. And they actually have big, like, Krampus festivals over in Europe where they dress up and, you know, have they're drunk and have torches and dress up as the Krampus and run around scaring people. So, it's kind of cool.
I don't know. I find it interesting that that the webcomic crew is really taking off with this too. I find it actually really entertaining, especially with what PvP's done lately. It's been it's fitting for his characters.
All right, we're gonna try and bring Mike in again.
Again,
this has been a running sort of thing.
Maybe when he gets on, it'll be a Christmas miracle.
Hello?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hello!
Oh, my God, it is a Christmas miracle. God bless everyone.
In case you haven't been following it in your stead.
I'm dreaming of a Skype Christmas. Just like the ones I used to know.
So we've moved on to the naughty tropes already. And we have, in addition to the usual road of people, we have Kaito from Kaito and Kurt, because Kurt was on and doesn't know how to say no to people, apparently. So yeah.
He can't say no to me. I have giant robots.
True.
You do. Not just that. You're a lady with giant robots, which yes. makes you, you know, like, you're a shiny Pokemon. You're not just the, like, a rare Pokemon. You are a shiny rare Pokemon.
Ooh. Like spot.
So, okay. So yeah, the Krampus drags children off to hell. Who are, you know, I suppose that makes the coal thing not seem nearly as bad in retrospect.
Yeah, I'd rather have the coal than Krampus. Really, I mean.
Yeah, have you seen the price of coal lately?
Yeah,
we're gonna have to get small now.
Yeah, that would, you know, that would be an interesting plot for Christmas something. Someone doing as much deliberate bad as they can because they want to bank on getting as much coal as they can.
That would be awesome.
You know, like just one of the traditional, like, smart, you know, like Mandy from Billy and Mandy, the Grim Adventures.
Yeah.
You know, some character who's intelligent and predisposed to evil already. Just taking, you know, like, I knew I was already going to get coal. The question now is, how much? And then, you know, they burn down the orphanage because...
No, then you have to set it up so you collect all the coal and then you wait till the summer and you sell it to the barbecue people.
On a Krampus-related note, we actually just closed season 2 of the gaming podcast that I co-host, Ropai Gamma, and I ran a game, and it was Christmas-themed, and I actually used the Krampus as the monster. Like, it decided that it was tired of putting up with Santa Claus, so it decided that it was gonna basically kidnap Santa Claus and rough up all the elves and then go around and steal whatever children he wanted. So, it's pretty cool.
Okay, so, while we're on the topic of things that deserve some punishment for that have to do with Christmas... The office Christmas party seems to have become a trope-esque sort of mecca of, you know, like, it's a one night where everybody... Has anybody ever actually been to an office Christmas party that's been anything?
If we were recording this next week, I would have been to two.
Yes, I have, actually.
But are they anything like... The you know, like, somebody winds up getting their, you know, people
jingle
having
belled.
People having sex on the copier and, like,
people with lampshades on their heads.
And... Yeah.
No, not really.
Yeah, I've never been to an office Christmas party that was at the office. It's usually been at, you know, some restaurant or some other place hosted.
No, the last I was at one of those, we started playing Guess Who I Am by taping a name to your back, and you had to ask people questions so you could try to guess what it was. Whoop-de-doo.
Ours was just a matter of en masse drinking and just, yeah, just a lot of drinking. I couldn't feel my face. It was that good of a time, so.
No, see, we didn't even get any drinking or anything like that. It was, there was a bar, but you had to pay for it.
Is this with Dave?
Yeah. No, no, this was a place I worked for before my current position.
Ah. I think the most closest to the concept that I used to work for a bookstore. And those people know how to drink. I mean, you'd think that, like, bookstore employees are like
lightweights,
bookish nerds.
But no, because the thing is, after you've been filing books for 8 hours a day, when you close your eyes, you know what you see? You see more books. You go home at night and you have nightmares about there being mountains of books that need to be filed. You just, you when you leave work, you close your eyes and you're still walking the aisles putting books away. And so most everybody that I went to, that I worked with, like, when work got out, went three doors over to the bar and was there until closing time. Now, take these already professional alcoholics on a Christmas party where the company is paying for an open bar.
Oh, dear.
And it becomes, you know, if they were maybe semi-pro before, this was a tournament.
That was just training season.
And it wasn't a cheap tournament either, because we were at, like, Boca de Beppo, which is really expensive alcohol. All I remember is, I think I may never need... I have probably had, at this point, my lifetime fill of limoncello. Oh, which geez. Is sad, because I liked limoncello before.
Not now.
But I've hit my quota. I've hit my quota. I'm going to have to, you know, maybe if I go into overtime on my lifespan at some point in time, I will have caught up with my lifetime allotment of limoncello to the point where I feel safe to drink it again. But yeah, no, there was, it was a
fun time.
It was indeed a fun time, but I'm actually looking through TV Tropes here, and I don't see the Office Christmas party listed in here anywhere. I see lots of the things that happen at it, like lampshade wearing and the awkward making out and the copying of people's butts as they sit on the copier, and maybe
somewhere in there the drunken macking of the boss's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah.
So, that's, you know what else has always, the Insight commercials.
Oh, my God.
It's, penis pills.
Male enhancement?
Natural male enhancement with smile and
bomb. Natural.
Natural, my ass.
One of them was at a Christmas party, and Bob was playing Santa. Yes. And I just remember the line of people that were, the line of girls lined up to sit on Santa's lap, and then there's this one girl, and she just smiles, and she sort of, like, wiggles her butt. And she's standing there. She's not, like, sitting on him yet. But that just, that little bit of just, spoke volumes to me. The you're like, oh wow, I don't know. It just I thought it was very interesting.
I was about to say trashy, but
yeah, that too. Speaking of trashy, how about the mall Santa? We're actually going and partaking in that tradition. This week with my 2-year-old, we will be taking her to the Tri-County Mall. And, we're going to try and get her to sit on Santa's lap and have a picture taken. And oh, the hopefully wonderful picture scream. TV Tropes has of this up. It's a deer in the headlights looking Santa desperately trying to hold on to two girls who are screaming as loud as they can.
Yeah, but how about when you were a kid, though, or you know, our own past experiences with said mall Santa? I mean, was there any embarrassing stories that you guys have had?
I vaguely remember desperately wanting a Red Ryder BB gun.
You'll poke your eye out with that thing.
No, I've never... I don't think we ever... My parents... My parents sucked. I don't remember ever going to see Mall Santa. I think we saw the Mall Easter Bunny a couple of times. And I was like, I want eggs for Easter? It's like, good answer, kid. No. I don't remember ever seeing a Mall Santa, though. I remember looking at them from the outside, but I'm pretty sure I never actually spoke to one.
I know we did, but I don't have any embarrassing stories or anything.
I know so. I did, but I don't remember what I did with them, you know, what I asked for, when it was. It's so long ago.
Knowing me, I probably asked for, like, books or pony toys or something. A pony, probably, in general.
I just remember walking past such things, and you just have the giant round podium set up with the maximum security, like people like around it to watch, stop the children from rushing the place or something.
Sniper.
It's like Santa has arrived. Sniper rifles on the roof. Guard dogs. It was crazy.
I just love it. You know, if I had some sort of time machine that would send me back in time in my own body, I would be the worst troll ever.
We are the worst troll ever.
Well, I know. Now imagine a 5-year-old me going up and going, Santa Claus, can I ask for anything I want? I want my grandma back from the dead.
Oh.
Slightly.
Yeah.
And then Santa goes home and drinks.
No, he's already drinking.
Yeah, you get it? He's already drinking.
All right, he drinks some more. And he goes home and shoots himself.
Well, you know, the real reason that they started those out was always to try to get people to upsell. You know, if the kid says he wants this, say, you're like, you really want the whole playset, don't you? Yeah. It was, It was one of the reasons that they started them out in
I would also imagine you get into a little bit of that marketing work too. I mean, if you get to find out what all those kids want, then you know what to bring to stock.
That's true.
It's basically marketing.
Or they could make suggestions, you know. Gee, I wonder if the Santa being sponsored by Mattel, who's in his Santa Mattel like patch jacket and stuff, is going to be suggesting Hot Wheels cars to, or not, but yeah, to Barbie race cars. And
yeah, I'm bringing you a Barbie sled, kid.
But I want a BB gun to shoot my eye out with.
Sorry, Hasbro makes that.
Maybe next year.
Maybe we'll get that from Nerf Santa.
Hey, those are deadly. Don't let those little Nerf guns fool you. They have darn good pinpoint accuracy.
Oh no, I know. They actually had Nerf like pellet guns for a while. That yeah, they could sting pretty bad if you get whacked enough with them. They were nasty.
I love my Nerf revolver. I think that was a birthday. No, that was a Christmas present. It was a Christmas present from my old DM. One year he got us all weapons. Because he knew how our Dungeons & Dragons group went, so everybody got a thematic weapon for their character. Like, my wife, who was the group's bard, got a recorder. I think Somebody got like a set of plastic bow and arrows.
I got a rock.
I was the barbarian, and I got a Nerf revolver because he couldn't find a hammer.
So he cheaped out on you.
But I got a revolver out of it, so...
He gave you a long-range weapon when you were melee. Come on.
I got a revolver out of it. And to be fair, I had a strength of 18 as a natural, like, so... My melee attacks were long-range.
So you could throw the revolver at someone and do, like, critical damage. Nice. Yeah, good job.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it so hard, it's going to hit you, and upon hitting you, shoot someone else.
But then they fail their saving throw. I mean, seriously, it's just...
That DM really liked
you. Yeah, there you go.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter, at Tropecast. Email us at tropecast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Mid-modding bastards.
You said white elephant exchanges, Liz, was another one you wanted to... So, I've done similar to this. This is, what, crass regifting of bad presents?
Apparently. I honestly didn't know what these were until like a week ago when someone brought them up on a forum. But it sounds like fun.
Yeah, I've been involved with one of those before. The problem is if you're in a diverse group of people, like at an office party, you get crap. You really do. I think I ended up getting a random set of photo frames.
Right.
What the hell am I? Yeah, I got like 6 photo frames. What the hell am I gonna do with these? I brought something I thought was fun or something. I brought a little one of those animatronic dancing reindeer kind of things.
Right.
Because it's like, okay, everyone can enjoy this. This is cool. And I end up with frames. I think somebody else got like a pair of slippers and it's what? Who are
my husband's
people?
Job, they did a gift exchange. It wasn't even supposed to be white elephant, but we got coasters.
Coasters.
Coasters, yeah.
I don't remember what I think I had a set of like 4. Oh no, I remember. It was one of those fountains that like you put water in and it mists. And I guess everybody thought we needed one because though they weren't on the wedding registry, we got like 4 of them and nobody had receipts for them. So we put one up for about 6 months, decided it was boring, and then got rid of all of them, but we had like one left over. So I gave that away as a thing, and I got what we were doing was we were doing like deliberately just bad present regifting. What I got was a box that had a like medium-sized Blues Brothers 2000 t-shirt and War of the Worlds 2, the sequel that was made by the Asylum.
Eesh.
Wow.
And to me, this was a gold mine because I had somebody that the shirt fit perfectly that loved Blues Brothers, and I love Asylum movies. I have no taste whatsoever when it comes to films. Ask anybody
that
I've
seen
it. Cinematic for the People with me. Yeah, I throw myself into bad movies all the time. So I was like, yay! And they were like, you don't really have to pretend you like. And I was like, shut up.
No, you don't understand. No, I really do.
You don't understand. I really like this. I really, really like this. I have absolutely no taste, according to you, but I love this stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One man's trash is another man's treasure.
What about the, you ever go to a friend's Christmas party and they have that whole gift-giving thing where it's like a random draw where you can like exchange a gift, or you can only have one exchange or whatever.
That's basically the white elephant idea that gets a present.
Sorry, Canadian here is different types of phrasing.
I think the white elephant term is a new thing. It's not one I'm familiar with.
Well, the idea is because you usually wrap the presents like with wrapping paper that's inside out, so they're all white.
Oh,
that's kind of the idea, so they can't be identified.
It's easily. Different.
Interesting.
Yeah, best one of those I think I ever went to.
Said that. Go ahead.
Best one of the gift exchanges I ever went to on a Christmas party was for the at the time it was a local homebrewing club, and basically everybody brought a bottle of their homebrew to exchange with somebody else, essentially. So you picked up a random bottle of somebody else's homebrew. Pretty much a no-lose situation.
Unless someone was really bad at it.
Yeah, fortunately, they didn't stay in the club that long.
They were too drunk.
My family has always had a tradition with their regular presents where it's not just enough to give gifts. There's a lot of maniacal bastarding, I guess you could call it. I come by it earnest. What can I say? Hints and clues given about what your present is, but deliberately misleading ones. Like, my mother played Hangman with me one year for the present that I got. And what I got was a television. But the clue that she gave me, the word that she gave me, was Magnavox. So, of course, even though I was like, I had like three letters down and was just completely lost, because it was like I got to guess a letter a day, like in the week before Christmas. And I was I had like three letters that I'd gotten, and I had no idea what I was getting, and then I opened it and it was like, it was a TV! And I was like, there are 10 letters in television. Your thing only said 8. My favorite thing was always, I would give obfuscated packaging. Where I would either place the package, like, one year I did I think it was about 10 recursive boxes, each one wrapped, each one increasingly more wrapped, so that like the outermost box had one layer of wrapping paper. The next box was slightly smaller and had a couple of layers of wrapping paper. The next box was a little bit smaller and it had several layers, and I think by the time you got down to the core, It was a ring box, and it was wrapped in a ball of wrapping paper that was like an entire roll of wrapping paper in a ball.
And the hamster.
My mom, all of us kids got these huge boxes, and of course, rip the wrapping paper off and open up the boxes, and there's another wrapped box inside for a different kid. So it turned into this round robin unwrapping.
Oh, that's sadistic. I love that.
It was awesome. One year, this was when I had just started college and I had just moved out, and I told my mom that I wanted some green for Christmas. Like some money.
Oh, not marijuana.
And it gets to be Christmas and she's like, that's your present over there in the corner. It was too heavy. I couldn't wrap it. And I'm like, what? So I go over and I open this box and it's full of the green foil shreddy paper. And she had bought me all these like groceries that were green or in green packages, and like shampoo and a green hairbrush and just all this. She just like went through Walmart or whatever and bought everything green that she could think of that was useful.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Because I just moved out. But also attached to some of the packages was money. So, like, that's one of my favorite gifts. It wasn't really, like, a white elephant gift, but it was just incredibly cool.
Well, a friend of mine, Jenny, Mike met her at AnimeCon. We had a tradition which still probably will run to this. It's been a couple of years, but I'm curious if it's going to happen this year now that she has a job again. Many years ago, we were sitting watching TV, because that was a standard sort of thing that we did, and there was a commercial on that was talking about, like, it was a Christmas commercial, and it was for soup. It was like, give the gift of soup, and it showed, you know, like, this family gathering around the like, old black guy, father of the family, and they were all looking on happily as he was just, like, you're, like, really, really enjoying this cup of soup that they'd given him for Christmas. And we got
Well, the rest of them starved.
We got to making fun of it. So, that year for Christmas, I gave her soup. The following year, she gave me more soup. The following year, I gave her more soup, but I also upped it, like, I gave her, you know, like, the Campbell's collectible cup things, and so it's been a ongoing off and on over the last, like, decade and a half now, slow boiling escalation of soup gifting. I also, when I got married, just for her, we registered at Target. And I walked over, and I got a single can of tomato soup. And Jackie was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "She knows. She'll know what this means. She'll know this is for her when she sees it." And lo and behold, I got an angry phone call like a week later, like, "Why did you put soup in the garbage?" I was like, "Yes, Jenny. No, I know. It's you don't have to get me the soup." As I said, someone should get me soup. You know, soup is a wonderful present.
To the point of actually looking for seasons of the soup on DVD.
Oh, you know, I've never thought about that, but I bet you could do that.
There you go.
That would be hilarious.
I'm here to promote chaos.
Ooh, or soup. Oh, no, that was soap. I was trying to remember the... There was a, but that was soap, not soup. So never mind.
It does sound like the brothers who used to give each other the same shirt every year, but they'd wrap it in a way that it was almost impossible to get it back out. Like, they encased it in concrete, and you had to break it out and to give it back. The other guy was wrapped in, you know, wrought iron bars, whatever. The only rules they had was you could not damage the shirt in either getting it out or putting it into its wrapping. So this thing's been escalating and going back and forth for several years. I don't know if it's still being done or not, but this is like 20 years ago I think they were doing this. One friend of mine likes to, I swear he got a present with the intention of putting it in the box he gave it to me in. I fold this trick too as far as it goes. But I got this very nice cheese board, like a tea cheese board made in Scandinavia assembly. But he got it for me, I swear, because it would fit in a toilet seat box. So you open the present, you go unwrap it, and you see toilet seat. Like, huh? So my sister wanted a decent knife for her kitchen. It was all the ones she had were kind of crummy. So I was at my parents' house, and I said, "Can I have that box?" And she had just gotten, I think, couple of days before, one of these spiral baked hams that was shipped by her boss, who's actually, you know, two states away, and she couldn't reheat it because once they're, you know, spiral sliced, they just dry out. So she was going to have that for a Christmas dinner for when her young'uns, who were, I moved out of the house, came back to for Christmas with, you know, that part of the family. And so I brought this present in and said, "You want to open this one first? It'll help you with the ham." So she opens this box up, and it's a electric hedge trimmer, but it had a knife inside.
I think the oddest gift that kept going around our family was a 500-piece beer can puzzle, like just a puzzle with a bunch of brand name beer cans on it and labels and all that stuff.
Yep, seen
it. No one ever opened it. It was still in its original packaging, and it's been going around the family for like 20 years.
To say that sounds like it would be a nightmare to put together. No wonder no one's opened it.
It's just one of those things. It's crazy. Beats socks, though. So, yeah. What can I say?
I like socks.
Oh, no,
nothing says Christmas like a pair of socks.
No, no. See, I went through a year that, for some reason, people started giving me strange things. It's like, my father went through and got me, like, a box of boxers. And then my mother got me a box of socks. And then my grandmother decided I wanted to get a box of rocks, basically. So like, things that are supposed to break open be geodes, and most of them didn't work. But, so it's like this, just in one year, a box of boxers and a box of socks and a box of rocks. And it was very bizarre that year, but...
Did they then take you out to eat with a fox? Did you go on a Christmas plane or possibly a train? Near or far?
I could not, would not in Japan with Godzilla or Rodan. I know, I just... Oh.
I don't know if this is the right one, but let's see if this is the right one. Hold on a second. The Campbell's soup commercial that started our soup war in the first place. We got one where it's like there's a kid. I remember this one. There was a kid that was like a snowman.
Oh yeah, that one was pretty cool.
And he came inside and melted.
Yeah, warmed up.
But that one wasn't really Christmassy. That was just okay. One more thing I wanted to talk about for the naughty stuff. One of my personal favorite things for Christmas is funny Christmas songs. They're not always necessarily in keeping with the spirit of the season.
Christmas at Ground Zero and the night Santa went crazy.
Yep. Weird Al, gotta love it.
Plus, Bob Rivers practically has made a career out of it.
Oh, yes. I have a good number of his songs.
Chipmunks roasting on an open fire. walking around in women's underwear.
Yep, classics. And the songs, too.
the thing that... it's really interesting. We have a radio station here in Cincinnati called Warm 98. And it's the most inoffensive, bland, lifeless, soft rock... dentist's waiting room music that you could ever imagine. And then for Christmas time, it becomes that, but for Christmas music. But I've noticed something really interesting. When the Democrats are in power, the music stays secular for the most part, and they slip some of the funny Christmas songs in there occasionally, like, the Snoopy Red Baron song, or the there's a Barenaked Ladies did two different versions of a Christmas song, one where they start going horribly off topic, and then the other one is like a straight version, and it's also got some other, like, Sheryl Crow singing with them or something. Democrat year, funny version. Republican year, straight version. Also, the number of, like, religious Christmas songs during Republican turns, significantly higher. This year has been practically, you know, a one-for-one ratio between the things that quote Jesus and God and stuff, and the ones that are, you know, holly jolly Christmas. So I just thought that was a really interesting. It's kind of like the trend people noticed with Counselor Troy in Star Trek Next Generation, that the better the show was doing, the less the more normal of an outfit they put Troy in. Like, show's ratings are down. Troy is in a low cut skirt and like not wearing anything. She's got like a skirt on and then no pants. Height of the show's doing really well. Troy is in the same uniform as everyone else. Show starts slipping again. Troy goes into the sexy clothes.
Well, it was bad. Wow. Beverly,
they had a pressure valve on their audience pretty well, I guess.
And she was the nozzle?
I guess so.
Apparently. Yeah.
She was pretty good looking. She's still good looking, actually.
I've never understood everybody's obsession with Jeri Ryan. 7 of 9 was not that attractive.
No, not really.
It was a dominance play, basically.
See, if I had my pick of any of the ladies from Star Trek, it would probably be Dax. First Dax, not the second.
Sure. Yeah, Dax was alright.
Yeah, I like Dax. She was awesome.
Dax was awesome. And she was smart and funny and...
Oddly enough, I got a little better with Ezri, though, because she was the geek. So it worked out for me.
I can see that, too, but they didn't spend enough time on character development for me to feel really, you know... for me to feel like I'm able to commit to that one after so little a time of knowing her.
Well, that's true. She was... Yeah, wasn't there for that long.
Well, but I mean, I just don't understand. Everybody's always, you know, like, oh, 7 of 9, and I've never gotten that. You know, it's...
That's because you're not a hormonal 13-year-old. I mean,
I was at one point in time, and I still...
Not at that point.
I mean, I'd rather have had Cass, and that would have made me a pedophile or something.
Technically,
I don't know how that works in the Star Wars universe or Star Trek universe. I'm sorry, I just lost some geek cred there, didn't I?
Just a wee bit.
Somewhere a war just broke out, and it's all your fault, Adam.
Hey,
congratulations.
I've always said it, my first love before Star Wars and before Star Trek was and always will be Doctor Who.
Who?
I can give you line and verse from Doctor Who. The star stuff comes afterwards.
No, I'll jump ship right there and go after Babylon 5. Sorry.
Yes.
And I'll jump both of your ships and I'll go with David Carradine from Kung Fu.
Oh, well, David Carradine, Kung Fu. I love Kung Fu. That's a whole nother concept, though. We're talking sci-fi here.
Oh, sci-fi. Oh,
sci-fi.
Uh-huh.
Well, not necessarily. We're talking fandoms in general, but... I mean, yes, I suppose Who did have that minor break from 89 to 2005, but 40-some years of continuously making a product, that's not a bad legacy, all things told. I just don't know why it doesn't get the respect that it... And for the love of God, I'm tired of hearing about David Tennant. Ooh. I really am. He's... I know that he's going to be the new generation's Tom Baker, and that's fine, but I was sort of tired of him being the Doctor by the time he was done being the Doctor. I was glad to see him go. Matt Smith has been doing an awesome job. I was afraid, because he's as young as he is, that Matt Smith was going to be bad at the Doctor, but he's done just really well. How did we get to this topic again?
I have no idea.
It's like, well, 1,000 geeks were cried out suddenly and then were just as suddenly silenced.
Well, congratulations. You've officially been trope cast then. If you wind up having a heated debate and you stop and go, we were talking about Christmas stuff, weren't we?
Yeah.
This is the trope cast. That is how the trope cast works. And I think we should go ahead and end it on that note. I would like to thank everyone who has participated in the Tropecast for this evening. Liz? And
what?
What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
Not me.
Not me. I hear a lightsaber and ho ho ho.
I'm hearing it from somebody else.
Oh. It's Santa Claus. Bob Rivers. One day, yeah.
I think it's Mike.
Mike.
Trying to be.
Mike, we're trying
yeah,
to
Mike's
do the sign
off.
Mike's
the only one lit up.
Mike, I'm
I missed
trying.
A lot of show. I have to catch up with it somehow.
Tell you what, you can go through and add the sound effects for everything.
Hooray!
Anyway, so this has been the Tropecast, part of the Webcast Beacon Network. I am Adam Smithy of AppleValleyComics.com and WebcomicHell.com. Liz?
I'm Liz Staley of AdrestusComic.com.
And Don, since you were here more than Mike.
This is Don Koch of Kaito Comics at Kaito.org.
And Kurt.
I guess it's me. All right. So this is Kurt Sousa from TGTmedia.com.
And finally, joining us at the 11th hour, Mike.
Of course, this is Mike of OnyxSparrow.com and WagonWebComicBattle.com.
We called it. He was in for the whole naughty thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I knew it was going to happen. We're dying. We're just like, yeah, so tropes and stuff for the nice stuff, and then we get to the naughty stuff, and he's like, oh, no, it's magically working now.
Did someone say naughty?
All right. Well, since this is probably going to be the last Tropecast you hear of 2011, have a happy new year. And stay tuned for 2012, where we're going to try and do at least another dozen of these.
Woohoo!
Possibly more. Good night.